Congregation, young people, there are things that don't mix. Maybe you know examples of that. Water and fire don't mix. It doesn't work that way. Abraham also experienced something that it did not mix. Sarah and Hagar in one tent didn't work. Does mix, it's by the law or it's by grace. We know from the Bible we cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. And what also does not mix is the law and the gospel. I mean, in a way the law and the gospel belong to one another. We need the law, but without the law we don't know what sin is. So nothing bad about the law, but the law cannot save us. Only the gospel can. And if you try to mix the law and the gospel, they get all confused. And there's no salvation, there's no hope, no comfort. So that's what we'll see in the verses 6 through 14 of Galatians 3. That the law and the gospel don't mix. Let's read those verses again, 6 through 14. Even as Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and the all nations shall be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ, that he might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So far, faith needed in order to escape the curse of the law. Faith needed in order to escape the curse of the law. Four thoughts. The old faith. Old? Yes, that faith of Abraham. That's so long ago. That faith is still the same faith. That's the old faith. It has not changed at all. Secondly, a worldwide faith. Because that faith was at first looked like as if it was only for Israel. But it was meant to be a worldwide faith that all nations of the earth be blessed. A nationless faith. In the third place, a cursing law. You see that in the verses 10, 11, and 12, then he shows the other side, the negative side. The curse of the law. If you would like to be saved by the law, you can't come further than being cursed. And the fourth thought, escaping the law in 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Faith needed to escape the curse of the law. Old faith, worldwide faith, the cursing law, and escaping the law. Now, who is Paul talking about? What person in this chapter, in those verses? Who is he talking about? He's talking about Abraham, right? About Abraham. In his letter to the Galatians, he mentions Abraham, I think, 9 times. He goes back to Abraham all the time. Like he also does in Romans. 10 times. Or 8 times. In Hebrews, 10 times. Why is the Apostle Paul talking so often about Abraham? What do you think? Well, some people are boasting. We are children of Abraham. We are the real Abraham people, the covenant people. We are circumcised. We are proud of that. And not only Orthodox Jews are saying that, but Christian Jews who are genetically Jewish or proselyte Jewish and belong to the Jewish nation, but also became Christians. And they began to bother the congregations, you remember that, in Galatia. From Galatian background. And they said, you are Christians from the Gentiles. But we are Christians from the Jewish people. We are children of Abraham. So I think you should also join us. Become Jewish as well. And be circumcised. And keep the Jewish food laws. So then you also will be a step higher. Because otherwise you feel kind of a distance. We can't even sit at the same table with you. Remember? But even the Apostle Peter left and Barnabas left and pretended not to belong to the Gentiles. So the Apostle Paul is dealing with that issue that some people from Judea are influencing the churches, telling them that we are the children of Abraham and you are not. And what is the answer? Well, the Apostle Paul says, let's talk about Abraham then. If you say you're children of Abraham, you should look like him. Then you should just be followers of Abraham. Let us see if you are. I read in Genesis that he believed God and that was counted unto him for righteousness. So he was justified by faith. So that makes someone a really child of Abraham. Not circumcision, not birth, but faith. Faith, that old faith, that same faith as we believe with, the same faith the Apostle Paul says, it's the same faith. And that faith makes you a child of Abraham and nothing else. Know ye therefore, verse 7, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. See? Verse 7. Know ye therefore, don't forget, realize that. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Question. Are you Jewish? Are you a son or a daughter of Abraham? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know what my genes are. No, that's not what I mean. Are you a real child of Abraham? You would say, how do I know? Well, if you have that true faith in what you have heard, not doing something, but have you heard of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and believed it? Because it's not doing that makes you a child of Abraham. It's believing that makes you a child of Abraham. That doing nothing but entrusting yourself completely unto him to be in the midst of death with everything you have and seek your salvation outside of self in another. That makes you a child of Abraham. So, don't think that people in the Old Testament were saved in a different way than today. Don't think that that they become saved by law or son, only by grace. It's nonsense. It's the same. There's only one book of life. There's only one Bible. For Jew and Gentile, it's only one house, one tent, one church, one tree. Also, the Lord Jesus spoke about all these things, about Abraham. Not to the Judaizers, not to the Jewish Christians, but to the Orthodox Jews. So that's a different context, but yet you can learn from that. So let me just show you from John 8. They answered and said unto the Lord Jesus, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So you tell me you're children of Abraham, but you try to kill me. Abraham did not try to kill me. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. See? The Lord Jesus said, Abraham had the same faith, the old faith. He saw my day. He longed for me. He rejoiced in me. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. No difference. And that makes people children of Abraham. Because this happened even before circumcision was instituted. Abraham was a Gentile himself. And that faith made him a covenant child. See? Old faith. Those Judaizers, they said, we are children of Abraham. And maybe they were. Because they were Christians and they also believed in the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul did not want to question them on that. Later on in the letter he says, us, he has saved us. He did not exclude them. But they were confused though. And he was really mad with those teachers they had. Those teachers, he said, they're cursed. But he felt sorry about the people influenced by them. He said, no, don't be worried. Don't think that they are a better class of Christians. You are also children of Abraham by faith. So that's verse 6 and verse 7. Now verse 8 and 9 and 14. Worldwide faith. You know those Judaizers, those people coming from Israel, they said, the faith belongs to one nation, right? So now you're not talking about how you become a child of Abraham by faith. You're talking about a worldwide faith. That is not different anywhere. It's meant to be for the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul said something to the Judaizers that they may have forgotten. That the Lord said to Abraham, and he was called, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the nations. The Lord Jesus, the Lord in the Old Testament, never meant to only stay with to only bless the people of Israel. He had always in mind to bless the whole entire world and all the nations. He only began with Israel, but he didn't want to end with Israel. It was meant to be for the whole world. So he is just talking and looking in the face of those Judaizers, and he says, you know, what do you think? That the Lord was willing to just limit himself to the people of Israel? Really? No way. You read Genesis again. All nations be blessed. So therefore, Abram is the father of the worldwide church. Wherever there are God's people, whatever color, whatever race, whatever tribe, whatever occupation, whatever, it's one church. The Holy Catholic Church. And it's sad that there are Hispanic churches only for Spanish-speaking people. And that there are Chinese churches only for Chinese people. And Dutch churches. No, not really. That's something is not right. That's why I like it to go to Bolivia and to sit in church there and to see different tribes, the Kojas and the Kambas. That's why I liked it in Nazareth, where Reverend Decker is preaching. See, all different people, all different colors. Jewish from origin, Jewish blood, but also from Ethiopia. You know? The Lord had in mind, when you think of the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Lord had in mind, not to pitch a new tent for the New Testament believers. So keeping the old tent of Abraham and building a new tent next to it, that was not the Lord's will. It was the Lord's will to extend the tent, to make the tent wider, bigger, more room for the Gentiles as well. So to have one church, I would love it if I would see Chinese people among us and Hispanic people and Black people, I would love it. Because the Lord does not want it to be, does not want social barriers and cultural barriers. It's one church. And when you think of Romans 11, that's about the olive tree. You see that olive tree, there's one olive tree with all branches, natural branches of Israel. Israelites, and the Lord took natural branches out and put wild branches in that same tree. Not two trees, a tree of the Jews and a tree of the Gentile Christians, one tree altogether. So that's what we read in 8 and 9. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And also verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Worldwide church. You know, it is possible that you are more family with someone of Chinese background with a new heart than you are close to someone in your own church, in your own pew with a grace. Because what counts is not to belong to this congregation. What counts is if you are a child of Abraham, and if you are in that tree, in that worldwide church of God. And the church is, I wouldn't say international, I would say nationless. It doesn't matter. Well, let me stop myself here. Does it matter? Of course, the people of Israel are still a blessed people. They are really mixed up regarding grace and God and sin and forgiveness. They are really mixed up. And the most anti-Christian religion you can think of. The most anti-Christian religion you can think of. The Roman Catholic Church at least talks about Christ. The Muslims, they still talk about Jesus, the prophet. But don't talk about Jesus, the Jewish people, the Orthodox people. They hate him still. And they are still a covenant people in outward sense and beloved ones because of the fathers. But they are not really children of Abraham if they miss the faith and they miss out and they don't even belong to the worldwide church. They don't belong to the worldwide church. There is no grace in their hearts. Now, if the Lord did not spare that olive tree and took branches, nether branches off, what do you think about the wild branches? It may look like as if you are a member of the church. You are not. So the Lord did not uproot the tree and plant a new tree, or had two trees. No, there's still one tree with new branches grafted in among the old. So how did those influencers feel? Those people from Judea. They felt kind of, we are children of Abraham. They belong to our national church. And the Apostle Paul says, whatever. Faith makes you a child of Abraham. And they become a member of the worldwide church from Jews and Gentiles together, mixed together. Also important for mission work, of course. That we view the people we labor among, that we view them as potential children of Abraham. Because Abraham is the father of all the faithful. And faithful does not mean faithful in the sense of faithfully doing your work. But the father of all the faithful means the father of all them filled with faith. Having faith. Third thought. The cursing law. Now the Paul moves to the negative argument. First he said how you can be saved. And now he's going to tell how you cannot be saved. How you can be saved by faith only. How you cannot be saved by the law. Oh, the law is important to prepare. He's the schoolmaster to Christ. Nothing bad about the law. We need that law. Without the law, we would not know what it is to covet. That coveting is a sin. And the law is also important for sanctification, for living a holy life. In faith, after faith. But if you are in that rut, the law, you make it difficult for yourself and for others, and you are making a mistake. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. The system of the law is do this, do that, don't do that, do that, don'ts and do's. And where does it lead? it leads only to being cursed and feeling that you don't have enough, that you don't qualify, that you never measure up. The law lets you feel, I fail. I don't have enough. I can't please God. And you drown. So that's not good. Because the Bible says, cursed is everyone that continueth not. Continueth not. In all things. Which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you ask an Orthodox Jew, are you sure about your salvation? He probably will ignore you and don't talk to you. Probably just turn around and walk away. They don't like to talk. But if he's willing to talk, he would say, you're never sure. You're never 100% sure. Because you may also do not enough. And that's exactly the faith in the Roman Catholic Church as well. And all of them with the doctrine of good works. You hope you do enough. You hope for the best. You suppose the Lord knows that you're doing your best. But you never know after all. And you have that feeling of guilt all the time. The feeling of, oh, wrong again. The feeling of, I don't qualify. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live by faith. If the just shall live by faith, now think about that, that's a quote from Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. By faith you become just. Abram believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So justified by faith, justified by just hearing it and believing it. If you're justified by faith, then you're condemned by the law. Right? It's the opposite. If you're justified by faith, you're condemned by the law. What is the opposite of justification? Condemnation. So justified by faith and condemned by the law cannot possibly save anyone. It doesn't mix. It's not together. It's without the law. By faith only. Because the law does not bring acceptance. The law does not declare righteous. The law declares unrighteousness. And that's a lesson for the unconverted Gentiles. Because they have the law in their hearts, natural law. That's a lesson for Orthodox Jews. It's also a lesson for us. Have you come to the end of the law? Are you still working hard? Or have you given up? We need to give up. Don't take me wrong. The law is the law and the Lord wants us to obey. But if we try to gain something and earn something, then we make a big mistake. Because that's not how it works. It is by grace only. And the Apostle Paul experienced that himself. What? The curse. Because if there was anyone to be found to be a Pharisee, living blameless, obedient, an example to others, a Jew of the Jew, an Israelite of the Israelites, a son of Benjamin, a Pharisee, was anyone doing his best, it was him. And the Lord stopped him on the way to Damascus, remember? And said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, stop. And it dawned on him that he tried to obey the law. And the Lord said, it doesn't work this way. You can't be saved this way. You're unsaved. And he writes about that in Romans 7 verse 9, that well-known verse. For I was alive. I felt alive. I felt good, he means, without the law. Not realizing he was without the law, but he was. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came and the Lord stopped me, sin revived, I died. But the law did. The law killed him. And in a way that's good. To come to the end of the law and to see that the law cannot help me. Remember from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress that Bunyan had left the city of destruction and was going to the gate to Lord Jesus, but also not only came to the slough of the spawn, but also came on that steep hill. What was it called? Legality and civility. And it started thundering. And he almost died. He was so afraid. He had to go back downhill and to go to the gate because he was off the road. And so it is also today. Maybe you're still working hard. Still busy. We're trying to please the Lord with your prayers. Try to pray good. Long enough and really thoughtful and warm. And hopefully you cry a little bit. And hopefully you feel emotional. And you hopefully you can pump yourself up a little bit. And feel a real child of God in yourself. I hope not. I hope that you don't try to, in an artificial way, pump yourself up to be a child of God and to do your best. What's essential to salvation is to come to the end of the law, to not be able to go further anymore, and to stop. Him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly. So where are you at? Are you a child of Abraham? By faith? Do you belong to the worldwide church? And the worldwide church does not think so much about the borders and congregation and denominations. It's important to have structure and be organized. But the worldwide church is the Catholic, Holy Catholic Church worldwide. Do you belong to that church? That's a nationalist church. Or are you in our church, sitting in our church, still under the curse? Under the condemnation, not being saved, having not one sin forgiven. And you hear about salvation, you hear about faith, and there's that stubbornness. Was it last week that I told you about my minister? That salvation is the easiest there is, and that's why it is so difficult. Right? He also had another example. It's a prison. And the inmates are there. And the door is opened. They like to stay. They don't want to leave. And that is being unconverted. The door has been set open. The Lord does not stop us from coming unto him. We stop ourselves. There are huge obstacles. Not on the road by the Lord. Put there by the Lord, but in ourselves are obstacles. So the old faith and the worldwide faith and cursing the law, and then escaping the law. First he's saying, the curse of the law is hanging over us. How can we escape the curse of the law? Well, the Apostle Paul writes about that so clearly in 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. It's not the Lord Jesus, right? Think about that. He did not know what sin was. Had never sinned. He was the most innocent, the only innocent person in the fall. Had done nothing wrong, nothing amiss. Absolutely immaculate. No sin. And he said to his Father in eternity, oh, give me the curse and let them go. I would like to suffer. I'd like to die. I'd like to be condemned. I like to bear the curse. I would like to absorb the wrath. Let them go free then. So the Lord Jesus bore the curse of the law. And that Lord Jesus and his benefits become ours. By faith. By hearing and believing it. By the application of the Spirit, faith is by hearing. And that faith justifies. The law curses. Faith, the gospel, speaks of being justified by faith only. It sounds so simple. Yet it's doctrinally so essential. So one of my favorite Bible verses is 2 Corinthians 5:21. I love that text. For he, as God, for he has made him, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God the Father, he has made him, the innocent one, who knew no sin, to be sin, to be a sin offering, to have all the sins on his back, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. By faith. Faith that hearing and believing it is the medium the Lord uses to justify a sinner. That going through the gate, that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the essential thing. So many stop short and come to the gate and never go through the gate. Or think of Isaiah 53 verse 6. I like that verse very much as well. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way in our foolishness. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All on him. All those iniquities. We strayed as sheep. We gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. You would say, well, then bear your own curse. It's your own fault. No. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And us is all them that truly believe in him. And have come to the end of the law. The Apostle Paul knows about this, right? And he writes about this more clearly even in Philippians 3. And he's kind of boasting. Kind of bragging about himself. Not really. But listen. Circumcised. Yes, I was. Circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin even. I was in the Hebrew of the Hebrews. The best one. As touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal. Talk about zeal. Persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gain to me. For gain to me. They look like gain. Those I counted loss. For Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. All things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count them but dung. That I might win Christ and be found of him, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See that? So the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians, I was a good man. I lived a good life. I excelled in that. I was blameless. I kept the entire law as good as I could. But I came to the conclusion that it did bring me nowhere. And I have to let go of being a goody-goody. Of being such smug person. I had to let go. It was all dung. It was all manure. It was all garbage. It was all nothing. I couldn't help myself with that. So I had no righteousness. But I had to be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness. Not having my own righteousness. No. Which is of the law. No. But that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. See. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone hanging on the tree. Think of the cross. And then summarizing in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that he might receive the promise of the Spirit, or the promised Spirit, through faith. It's by faith all the time. In contrast to the works. So in becoming saved in that area, when you talk about that subject, being saved, the law and the gospel may not be mixed. It's by faith only. But preparing people by the law, the Apostle Paul speaks highly of the law. Right? As I quoted before, I wouldn't have known that coveting is a sin if the Lord would not have said in his law. And also, people are misusing this chapter as well. And saying, you know, the law is fulfilled so I can live the way I want. I don't care about the law. I'm free from the law. I like the gospel. And I can do whatever I want, and I can go to the movies, and I can do anything I want to. Because it's forgiven anyway. All those rules get sick of that. But that's not what the Apostle Paul meant regarding salvation. But if Christ becomes precious, you also become willing to obey in thankfulness, in gratitude. And there will be fruits on the tree as well. But those fruits are the consequence. Those fruits are not merits. You don't become saved by the fruits. The fruits come after salvation. Are you a child of Abraham? Faith makes you a child of Abraham. And nothing else. The prison door is open. And the Lord calls people. He calls you. He calls the younger ones and the older ones. He calls us to come unto Him with all our sins, not with anything good. Leave that at home. Come with empty hands. And seek your salvation only in that Savior who knew no sin, was made to be sin, to make righteous of God in Him. Amen.